This is Coffee at KYUK. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The first person in the region died of COVID-19 over the weekend. It's a sad time and strikes the tragedy of the pandemic close to home. We at KYUK send our condolences to the family. Today, I talk with Dr. Ellen Hodges about the Regional Health Corporation's response to the pandemic. Dr. Hodges is Chief of Staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation. Dr. Hodges, thank you so much for joining us. You've been working in this community for a long time as a community provider, and you're the Chief of Staff at YKHC. The first person in Bethel died of COVID-19 over the weekend, and I just want to start with hearing from you about how does that affect you as a provider?
Well, that's a great question, Anna Rose. We, of course, we're deeply saddened by this event, and we wish to protect the privacy of the family in this very difficult time. And I think it all kind of brings home the importance of all of the protective measures that so many of us have been talking about for so long. This virus is unpredictable and doesn't care who you are or what you believe in. And it is a serious illness that can cause death. And so just a sobering reminder to all of us and our staff that this is a serious disease and we have to continue our mitigation strategies and our protection strategies, not protection so much as prevention strategies, until we have a reliable vaccine or a reliable treatment, or both.
And the person who died was not living in Bethel at the time, but as I understand it, was a longtime community member, but was tested in Bethel. So was this person tested at the airport? Were they tested at the hospital?
Thank you, Anna Rose. In order to protect the privacy of the family, I'm in a not comment on anything else related to that case except for our deepest sympathies to the family.
Are you able to say if the case is travel related?
Yes, the case was travel related.
Okay. Bethel has not had any evidence yet of community spread of the virus, thankfully, so far. But what is the containment and response plan if evidence of community spread occurs like it's occurring in other areas of Alaska?
So once we have evidence of community spread, it's a novel virus, so we currently don't have access to vaccines that will prevent transmission or any medical treatments that can treat serious infections. There are some treatments that have promising studies, but nothing that's super definitive to treat this. So in this particular case, our primary goal would be to box in the virus. So to do that, we identify cases by testing, we isolate them, by quarantining them, and we do contact tracing to track down every single person that sick person may have gotten in contact with and putting them into quarantine. So I like to think of it as a box where we put the virus in a box so it can't spread. So that would be our primary strategy now, but also in community spread, it would be even more important to continue those strategies.
And the press release that YKHC issued announcing that this first patient had died, it said that YKHC was daily checking in on this patient. So for people who either themselves get tested positive for COVID-19 or their family members or a friend in the community, what can they expect about follow-up? What do these daily check-ins look like?
That's a great question. So once we get a positive test result back from our lab, we first call the person and let them know that the test was positive. I should mention that this happens no matter what time of day or night we get the call. Even if we get the call in the middle of the night, I start making calls to try to track that person down. We feel like it's that important that that person be informed about their results right away. First thing that happens is the provider calls and tells the person. Once we know that, then our contact tracing team follows up with them in the next day. And they do a very detailed case investigation with that person and a contact tracing. So this is where we could use some help from the public. So if you could, the listeners who are listening to this could just make sure they keep track of their contacts. So people that they've been in contact with for more than 15 minutes, less than 6 feet distance, It makes the contact tracer's job so much easier. If you just have like a little list of all the people that you've been around in the previous 14 days, that's really useful for our contact tracing team. Afterwards, all of the close contacts are identified and notified. They are not notified the identity of the individual, just that they were exposed to a person with COVID. And we follow up with daily phone calls to both the patient who has COVID and the close contacts who have been identified. And partially this is to check on that person's health and make sure that they're doing okay in their isolation, and also to make sure that they have all the things they need to stay in quarantine. So you might imagine if you unexpectedly had to quarantine and you weren't prepared with 14 days worth of food, you may need some help getting food. Or sometimes people have packages at the post office that they can't go to pick up. So just trying to make all the arrangements possible so that that individual is comfortable and can stay safely quarantined in their home.
So YKHC was checking on this individual on a daily basis, seeing if they had everything they need, checking on their conditions. And it sounds like this person's condition quickly worsened. This person went to the emergency room and then was medevaced to Anchorage, where this person then died. Will you speak to just the progression of this virus, of how the conditions can rapidly turn?
Yeah, so this is a novel virus, and we don't have a lot of scientific evidence and, you know, prolonged. You know, all of us scientists, we like these controlled studies and years worth of data. So we don't really have that. What we have are, we have some evidence, we have some studies, and we certainly have a wealth of information from our coworkers and colleagues who work in areas where people have more cases. And we also have weekly and sometimes twice a week calls with our colleagues in Anchorage to kind of discuss cases and make sure all of us are up on the latest treatments and identifying this dangerous virus. So in some people, they have a relatively mild illness. So you might have a slight runny nose. Most people get a fever at some point in the virus course. Many people get a loss of sense of taste or smell. That's kind of the hallmark of this virus. And we've been noticing lately a lot of people are having gastrointestinal issues, diarrhea, and abdominal pain associated with this virus. For most people, it's relatively mild, and these symptoms resolve on their own between 6 and 8 days after the start of their illness. But in a small percentage of people, for reasons that we don't know and cannot predict, people worsen right around a week or two after the initial diagnosis. And so worrisome signs would be severe shortness of breath, difficulty catching your breath, chest pain, fevers that do not abate or go away, a sense of, we call it dyspnea, or can't catch your breath, because this is primarily a respiratory illness. So this is the kind of worrisome signs that we look for and educate our patients about all the time. So those are the worrisome signs where we would want people to seek emergency treatment right away.
Should anyone in the community feel at risk that they were exposed to this virus through this patient?
No, our contact tracing indicates that risk to the community was very low. But I should mention that this is an unpredictable virus. There's lots of people coming in and out of here on a daily basis, and I think vigilance is the course for all of us.
Do you know at the moment of what percentage of people traveling into the region are getting tested at the Bethel Airport? It seems like that percentage has at times changed, but still not remained high.
That's a great question. So I believe it has increased slightly. I think before we were testing between 25 and 75% of each flight, and I believe it's increased more to 50 to 75%. The city of Bethel this last weekend was out at the airport offering an incentive for travelers who got tested. That was useful and increased our percentage that were tested this weekend. My understanding is they may not have the staff to offer this 7 days a week at this point in time, but that has been a useful thing to encourage that. And just encourage all the listeners, please get tested when you land in Bethel. It's free. It's relatively low hassle. It doesn't take a lot of time, and they can get the test done right there at the airport. We also have a testing tent that on Wednesday is open to the public between noon and 4 p.m. We get between 40 and 60 people every week at that point in time, and so we would just strongly encourage members of the public who live in Bethel, if they wish to be tested, noon on Wednesdays.
What are the recommendations for people who fly into the Bethel Airport from outside the region and get tested? I've heard people say that they were told to wait 5 to 7 days to get results. Sometimes those results took longer than that time. Sometimes they didn't hear and were told to assume that they're negative. What should people do?
My recommendation would be to hunker in place and avoid unnecessary contact with the public until you get your results. Because of the outbreak in Anchorage, I'm sure you're aware of there's a large community outbreak in Anchorage. The time to getting our testing results has increased because of the increased strain on both the state lab and the private labs that we use. So our results are taking between 7 and 10 days to come back in some cases. So people should self-isolate and avoid contact with the public until they get their results. The other thing that I think it's important to remember is that testing doesn't replace quarantine. We recommend to our staff that even if they have been given a shorter quarantine period or perhaps they even had a negative test result, that we prefer that people self-isolate and stay away from people that are in the community for 14 days after their travel.
And what is YKHC's current policy in the workplace if staff members are coming from out of town? Are they required to not come into the office for 2 weeks?
So our current strategy is depending on where they travel. So if they've traveled recently to a hotspot in the lower 48, we require that they self-isolate and quarantine for 14 days. If they travel within the state but outside of the region, we require a 5-day quarantine along with testing before they return to work. But we do still encourage that full 14 days. So even if they are coming back to work and they can't work from home, for example, for that full 14 days, we're requesting that they avoid contact with coworkers outside of work and that they sort of hunker down and stay in their homes for a full 14 days. We also recommend that they monitor for symptoms on a daily basis and check their temperature twice a day for that full 14 days.
And providers are allowed to see patients after 5 days if they've been tested negative?
If they haven't traveled to a hotspot in the lower 48. If they've traveled to a hotspot in the lower 48, they're required to quarantine for 14 days.
If results are taking 7 to 10 days to return, then does that mean that the staff is not allowed to come back to the office until that negative test result returns, which could be up to 10 days?
That's a good question. So for our direct patient care staff, we have a 2-test strategy where they test upon arrival, generally speaking, at the airport, and then they have a second rapid test the day before or the day they return to work. So we have kind of a 2-testing strategy for them to come back. And many of our positives are coming back before that 7 to 10 day window. So in other words, if you have a positive test result, we often are hearing about it in that 5 to 7 day range. And it's just the negatives that are taking a little longer to report out. But again, I just want everyone to be aware that we have been getting positive results in that 7 to 10 day window. So we just want to make sure that everyone's aware that that's about the amount of time it takes to do that. But for our staff, we do have a 2-test strategy before they return to work.
And people who get tested at the airport or at the drive-through testing at the Bethel Hospital, will they be told their test results, whether it's positive or negative, or will they only hear if it's positive?
So we have been calling all patients, regardless of their test result, whether it is positive or negative. The positives hear sooner, but the negatives will definitely get a phone call as well.
Cases are rising in the region. They're rising across the state. YKHC has been preparing for a surge for months as early as February. Will you remind us of those preparations?
Certainly. We have been working steadily and successfully to increase our testing capacity. So we have, like I mentioned before, this drive-through testing every Wednesday, and we update our testing criteria on a regular basis and expand the number of people that we are offering regular testing to. We train and use local contact tracers. Sometimes in the news I read there's been delays, especially in the municipality of Anchorage, because of their extremely high volume of cases, of doing the initial case investigation and contact tracing, but we have local people who do that for us, so we have no delay in getting our contact tracing done. Our staff has even done the contact tracing and case investigations for our patients who've tested out of region. We do expand our capacity for treatment. So we have identified areas of the hospital where we could potentially expand treatment areas, especially for those patients who require hospitalization but are not critically ill. We have identified and quarantined spaces in the hospital for patients and providers in order to safely treat our COVID-positive patients if it comes to that. We have stockpiled and conserved our PPE. We, in the very beginning, instituted measures to preserve and conserve personal protective equipment so that we would have enough during an outbreak. This includes both here in Bethel and in all of our villages. We've worked to identify non-congregate shelter areas in the community where if a person is a known COVID-positive patient or they're under investigation and awaiting test results, so they can safely quarantine if they have to quarantine away from their family. We have telehealth medical appointments so people can receive their necessary medical care, but they can do it from the safety of their home and they don't have to come into the hospital if it's appropriate. There are many types of visits that are appropriate for telehealth. People can call 543-6442 to schedule a telehealth appointment. And I think we've been working with KYUK as well as other entities to provide education to both our employees and the general public about the pandemic, the risks that we think it poses to our community, what we've seen, as well as what must be done to help prevent the spread of this virus. It's not over, and I think people are over it, but the virus is not over us, for sure.
Dr. Hodges, is there anything else you'd like to add or anything else that the community should know at this time?
Yeah, I would strongly recommend that people consider avoiding non-essential travel. It's difficult to cancel or reschedule a long-planned trip, but just asking people to consider this and limit non-essential travel when they can. Opt for testing upon arrival. When you land in Bethel, Antioch, or St. Mary's, these are the other two of our towns that get flights directly from Anchorage. Testing is free and it's convenient, so stop by on and get tested. Practicing regular hand hygiene, so washing your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water when it's available, using hand sanitizer that's alcohol-based, or using our instructions to create a disinfecting solution out of bleach in your home if you don't have running water or the access to alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Wearing a mask is critical to preventing the spread of COVID. It also may provide some protection to the person who's wearing the mask, but certainly if that person is ill, it prevents them from spreading the droplets that we know can spread COVID. So wearing a mask at all times when out of your household and you cannot remain physically distant from others. Staying physically distant from others who are not in your household are critical. Avoiding indoor spaces with people who are not in your household. I think that's absolutely critical at this point in time to prevent the spread of COVID. So don't be hanging out in restaurants or bars where you can't stay 6 feet away from people and keep a mask on. And frequently disinfecting the high-touch surface areas in your home and workplace also is very useful. And I think kindness and patience as we, as a community, work through this is also essential. This is a long haul, and I think people maybe thought this was going to be quick and over and we have beat this pandemic by now, but this is a marathon, not a sprint. So just asking for everyone to be kind and to protect themselves and to protect their neighbors with the mitigation strategies that we know work until we have a reliable vaccine or treatment that helps prevent and treat this terrible disease.
Dr. Hodges, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna Rose.
Dr. Ellen Hodges is Chief of Staff at YKHC. People awaiting test results can also find those results online on their MyYK Health account. The results may appear online before a staff member calls. Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.